felt it appropriate to give Kavod Acharon to Rav Finkel's Zatzal by having some special speakers today in the yeshiva. I'm privileged to be able to hear some Dibrei Hesped from Rav Shechter, Shlita Rosh Kolel, and Rabbi Yosef Gabriel Bechhofer, who had the unique skus of being able to learn Bechavusa with Rav Finkel's Zatzal.
Chachamim tell us that echad min ha'achim shemeis yidagu kol ha'achim. Good morning, you promise? One of the brothers dies, well, the other brothers should be nervous. Echad min ha'chabura shemeis. One of a group of friends dies, tidak kol ha'chabura. Even though it seems very unusual that we live here on this continent, Rabbi Finkel lived in Eretz Yisrael, and he didn't go to university. We have a university in the yeshiva. It's so different. But everything, all of the learning in our yeshiva comes from the same source that the learning came from in the yeshiva in Yerushalayim. In 1801, Rabbi Chaim Volozhiner founded the Volozhiner Yeshiva, and the yeshiva was only so big, and the Talmidim came from all over Lithuania. So they had to open up other yeshivas in different locations. So they had to open up Yeshiva Slabotkin, they had to open up Telz and Mir and Panevish and Radin and Navardik and all of the other yeshivas, all these Lithuanian yeshivas. At Sadan Shavashah Bahem, the Lithuanians developed a certain style of an analytic approach to Gemara. Each yeshiva had a different twist, each yeshiva had a different style. Each one was jealous for its style, but basically, they all had one side of Shavuot. There's all a certain style of analysis of Gemara. And then Rab Chaim Soloveitchik was Rosh Yeshiva in Volozhin, and he started giving a new style of Shiurim, and his influence was felt in most of the Lithuanian yeshivas, not in all of them. When I was a Talmud here in the yeshiva, everything was, the whole yeshiva over here was the Lithuanian style of learning. Dr. Revel was before my time, so he died before I was born. Dr. Revel was a Telzer. Dr. Belkin, who was the president after him, had learned Eraden. And Reb Mendel Zaks was the son of Lord Chafetz Chaim. So after the war, he came to America. So he was the one who gave smicha to Dr. Belkin. He gave shiurim in Raden during the lifetime of the Chafetz Chaim. So he was here in the yeshiva. He was the boychen, and he would give shiurim in the yeshiva. All of the rabbeim, all the European rabbeim were all either Telza or Mira or Slabotka and so on. They all had learned in these Lithuanian yeshivas. So Reb Nosson Zvi Finkel was really echad min ha'chabura. We all basically belonged to the same chabura. Originally, there were two yeshivas founded here in New York. The first was founded in 1886, that was Eitz Chaim. The second one was Yeshivas of Yitzchak Chanan in 1897, after Yitzchak Chanan passed away. I don't know if it's true, but that's what they told us when we were students, that Eitz Chaim was the name of the Volozhiner Yeshiva, that our yeshiva is named Eitz Chaim. It's still on the emblem of the Yeshiva University. It says Eitz Chaim on the bottom. This yeshiva is supposed to be carrying over that style of learning. It started with Rav Chaim Volozhiner, and traveled to all of the different Lithuanian yeshivas. In a certain sense, I personally feel that it's not only Echad Min HaChabura, in a certain sense, I feel as if it's Echad Min HaAchim. I don't think I ever spoke to Reb Nosson Zvi in learning. Every time I visited him, we would talk about family things. In a certain sense, we were cousins. My father-in-law, Zohar Lebracha, had learned in the Mir Yeshiva when he was a teenager with Rabbeinu Shvinkel. Rabbeinu Shvinkel was the son of Rablazer Yudel Finkel, who was the son of Rab Nosson Zvi Finkel, the Alter von Slabotka. So Rabbeinu Shvinkel was a teenager, the same age as my father-in-law, so they were very friendly. They were away from home. They couldn't call up on the telephone. They didn't have any fax machines. They didn't travel home so often, so they became very friendly. Baruch Hashem learned in the yeshiva away from home to become very friendly with each other. especially if they don't go home so often, so they become even friendlier. So in a certain sense, my father-in-law, the Rabbeinu Shvinkel, and several of the other Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael and the Mir Yeshiva were like brothers. So when I was first married and I visited Eretz Yisrael with my wife, so my father-in-law gave us a list of all of his chaverim that we have to visit. So we spent more time by Rabbeinu Shvinkel than anybody else. Rabbeinu Shvinkel only had daughters, he had no sons. And Rav Nosson Tzvi was one of his sons-in-law. So in a certain sense, we always felt with each other as if we were cousins, because he was the son-in-law of Rabbeinu, and I was the son-in-law of Rav Aaron Yeshaya. He loved very much my son, Aaron Yeshaya, because he knew my father-in-law's name was Aaron Yeshaya. And he felt that my father-in-law was like a brother to his father-in-law. Rav Nosson Tzvi was a very warm, friendly person. He would always be encouraging all of the boys to learn and to succeed and to go into chinuch. And he was he had many boys who learned in Pesdi yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael who would graduate. They would learn a year or two there, and then they would decide to go move on to learn in the Mir Yeshiva in Yerushalayim. Quite a few of them would come back to America and go to university, go to college. He wasn't against it. They had their style in Eretz Yisrael, and we have our style over here. He would always encourage them. He was successful, but he was in his area, and the boys that come back to America should be successful here in their style. The Gemara has a comment, Hillel Mechayev Anim, Rav Loza ben Charsa Mechayev Ashirim, and so on. Hillel was very poor, and notwithstanding, he was Moisa Nefesh to learn Torah. He hardly made a parnasa, and he would give away half of his peanuts that he got. He gave away half of the money to pay the Shomer HaPesach, to pay to enter the yeshiva. So if Hillel, who was so poor, was able to succeed to become the chief rabbi, the Gemara says, Kal b'chaymer, we're not so poor. He's certainly mechayev us. We certainly have to work hard to learn. Lozem and Charsim was extremely wealthy, and he was very busy taking care of all of his wealth and all of his investments and everything. Nonetheless, he became a great Tana. So the Gemara says, when you have one person who's in the same situation as you are, and he's able to succeed, so that's mechayev all of the other people who have who are in the same situation, they can also succeed. One of the boys tells over, Lavi Greenspan, is a Muslim from my yeshiva who lost his sight in his early 20s. So he was once visiting Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel, and they were arguing with each other, who's Mechayev, whom more? But Rav Nosson Tzvi had this Parkinson's, and his body would always shake, and he would strain himself to give shiurim every day. Give shiurim for the American students. He always give shiurim. He strained himself to come to America to raise money for the yeshiva. And Lavi Greenspan lost his eyesight, and he also strains. He's Baruch Hashem. He's still alive. He's still alive. So each one was arguing with the other. Who is Mechayev whom? Who is more Meiser Nefesh? We should learn from both of them. The one who's still alive and the one who just passed away. Mechayev all of us. In the summertime, I participate in the NCSY learning program. In Eretz Yisrael, so every summer they like to take, whenever it's possible, they like to take the American students to visit Rav Nosson Tzvi. So he always tells them, I was brought up in Chicago, I went to a co-ed high school. He's Mechayev everybody. I went to a co-ed high school. And I came to Eretz Yisrael and he sat and he learned and became a big Talmid Chacham. Everyone can become a big Talmid Chacham. He's Mechayev all of us. Just to conclude with a brief Dvar Torah, the beginning of Parshas Vayera, Rashi comments on the pasuk "Uhu Yoshev Pesach Ohel," that it's written Chasavav. So Rashi quotes the Medrash that Avraham Avinu wanted to stand up, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, "No, you out of Kavod Hashchina." He wanted to stand up, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, "No, Atasim Levanecha." Then when there'll be a din Torah, the Dayanim should sit. So Avraham Avinu was a simon for the Dayanim. What do you mean a simon for the Dayanim? Where was the din Torah over here? No one was having a din Torah. What in the world does it have to do with a din Torah? So Rav Soloveitchik suggested once al derech hadrash, the malachim who visited Avraham Avinu were on their way to go destroy Sodom v'Amorah. So one could argue the point and say, maybe the location was so miserable that it was impossible to be an Ehrlicher person. Maybe living in that area of the world, in the Middle East, maybe it's impossible to be normal. Maybe you have to be wicked like the people in Sdom Amor. So that's what the Chazal point out. No, Avraham Avinu lived right down the block, and he was a tzaddik. He was fine, bin Olam HaMakom, bin Olam HaVeiro. Totally not like the people Sodom, from Sodom. So in a certain sense, just like the Gemara says, Hillel Mechayiv Aniyim, Avlaz Ben Chasim, Mechayiv Ashirim. So in a certain sense, Avraham Avinu was Mechayiv Sdom Amora. He lived under the exact same circumstances, right down the block, right down the road. Nonetheless, he was a tzaddik bin Olam HaMakom, bin Olam HaVeiro. So that's what the Chazal in the Medrash we're referring to. In a certain sense, Avraham Avinu was like a dayan. He wasn't judging on Anshei Sdom, but he was Machayim Anshei Sdom. Machayim, in a sense, he was a tzaddik. He was able to succeed in Yerushalayim. So the Anshei Sdom deserved to be punished. They could have lived the same style of living that Avraham Avinu lived. We should all be healthy and we should live to our Erech Yasyomim. But Rav Nosson Tzvi is Machayim all of us. We are very relaxed, usually we take it easy. We shouldn't take it easy so much. We should do like he did, to work hard. He expanded the Mir Yeshiva much more than it was. When I visited the Mir Yeshiva, I remember 45 years ago, it was a tiny little place, hardly anybody there. He expanded it thousands of Talmidim. We should all do the best we can to be Moisa Nefesh within reason, to be Marbitz Torah, to learn Torah to the best of our ability.
Shul Rashi Yeshiva, I'd like to begin with underlining something that Rav Schachter mentioned. Coming into this building every day, teaching MTA, I try sometimes to inspire the Talmidim and tell them that we're learning in a building with a rich legacy. This past Sunday was the Yahrzeit of Rav Shimon Shkop. And I tell them, Rav Shimon Shkop taught in this building. There was only one building back then. He was the Rosh Yeshiva who taught in this building, and who knows if the classroom that we're sitting in, and the Zoichet being the classrooms here, who knows if the classroom we're sitting in is not the classroom in which Rav Shimon Shkop taught his shir. But the Rosh Yeshiva seemed to have been born Rosh Yeshiva. And of course they had kishreinus which perhaps are beyond our capacity sometimes to perceive, and they certainly had a different set of nisyonis than we have today. But as Rav Shefka mentioned, Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel was one of us. His parents were successful caterers in Chicago. He went to the Ida Crown Jewish Academy. He was a star basketball player on the basketball team. He was very tall. So, and he graduated, like us, he graduated from high school. And the high school was associated with Skokie Yeshiva at the time, but there was no separate high school in Chicago. He graduated from high school and he went to learn in Eretz Yisrael. The thing is that when he learned to went to learn Eretz Yisrael, he went to learn and he remained there. But qualitatively, there's no difference between his background and our background. And as the Rav Schachter said, that is what is mechayev of us, the fact that he was from the same background as us. And my personal recollections of Rav Nosson Tzvi begin when I was in the mirror. I came in Elul and Sukkos Bein Hazmanim. He came over to me. I don't know why he came over to me. Maybe because I was one of the few welcome in the mirror who wore colored shirts. I came over, and he came over and offered to work with me during Ben Hazmanim. And every day I went to his house during that Ben Hazmanim, and we learned together. And there are several things which struck me at the time, which continue to strike me today, and I'd like to focus on them in a few moments. First of all, the utter pashtus of the way he lived was very, very, very simple. And you could see when you entered the house, there was no concern with anything else. Nothing else had any value except for Torah and Avodas Hashem. But about his personality specifically, I'm sure people who have seen him recently also notice this, but this is noticeable maybe 28 years ago, that he had the Hadras Panim, which comes to a person who is involved to such an extent in Torah and Avodas Hashem. He exuded that Hadras Panim, which comes to great Masmidim, great Talmidei Chachamim. And not just that, but he was always had a smile. Everything was B'Seir Panim Yafos. We see it in Pirkei Avos. It's Shammai who says, having Mekalos Kol, B'Seir Panim Yafos. Not Hillel. because that it's not considered not a lifnim mishura sadin to be in a kabbalah club seder pnei panim yavos. It is the shura sadin, and Reb Nosson Tzvi always had a smile. He always had a calm and happy look on his face. I forget which one of the Baal Musa said that the face of a person is a shusa rabin, and a person has that sign which we should be able to learn to go about, but not with panim zofos the way very often we go about, rather to take that message that a person who is a gadol is a person who also goes around the same panim zofos. The other message which I took from him, and which is something which perhaps we should consider, we know when a gadol passes away, when Rebbe passed away, so his talmidim, or not passed away, his talmidim took on each one the different traits which he had. So too, when a gadol b'torah passes away, we of course should think about the different traits which he had and see what we can accept upon ourselves to be mechazik ourselves in. There's it's interesting. I saw from Yosef Leib Lach, the Tazel Rosh Hashiva. He says that explains the concept of tokde dibur kedibur dami. It says, why is tokde dibur kedibur dami? Because a person talks before they think. Meaning, we say the words that we say, and we only finish the thought upon which the words were based after we finish saying the words. He says that this is the reason why you have a second or a split second, a second or two after you finish saying something to take it back, because your mind is still occupied on that. And he says that if you'll see that if you make a statement and all of a sudden somebody says something totally different to you, you'll feel that you're distracted, interrupted, even though you are not in the middle of your talking anymore, because the mind lags after the mouth. He said that that's why we have certain things where we would say tokei dibur is not kedibur. Why? Because they're very chomer things, like kiddushin, or other things where people are deliberate and they think what they're going to say before they say it. But there are very few things like that. So this was an outstanding trait of Reb Nosson Tzvi, that he was, on the one hand, he was the one who pushed the yeshiva always to learn fast. So he had to learn Om in a day. It's his Seder, the Barclay who went to his Chabura, learned very quickly. But when he spoke very calmly, deliberately, and thoughtfully. When I would ask him a question after he finished learning, I would ask him various different questions, sometimes perhaps pointed questions, and he would think before he spoke. Every word was shuffled, every word was carefully weighed before he expressed it. And this is a midah which I wish I had, and certainly something which many of us wish we had. It would save us a lot of trouble, but besides that, it's proper for a person who's aspiring to be Ben Torah and Eved Hashem to make sure that what comes out of one's mouth is carefully thought about beforehand. So this is something which I think a midah which we should consider all, at least for today, working on. This midah of being shokel, weighing what we say before we say it, and making sure the words we're going to say, you know, I believe it's the Gro who says that you cannot be Mishire how much schar there is for each word of Torah a person says. Each word is meaningful. It's not talking about Lashon Hara, but it's a Shemra. Chas v'shalom, talking about even Tzichas Chulin Shel Tamid Chamin Tzricha Talmud, because it's carefully stated, carefully thought about, and carefully deliberated before. So it should be zeichut to take this midah a little bit, try and work on it, and thus keep that lesson which this God of Torah taught us alive and be mischazik from it.
Thank you all for coming. I think we should certainly take all of these words to heart. It's truly a day of collective mourning for all of Klal Yisrael.